John Busby with the Culture Buzz, and I have been so looking forward to sharing this author with you. Karen Page is my guest, and she is part of a team that is just behind this incredible book. It's called Kitchen Creativity. You almost let those words soak into your brain of the potential that the title alone offers you. I'll give you the subtitle too: Unlocking Culinary Genius with Wisdom, Inspiration, and Ideas from the World's Most Creative Chefs. And Karen Page is the kind of person who can deliver these ideas to you. And she is very ably supported with these gorgeous photographs by Andrew Dornenberg. So we're going to have fun talking. In fact, what I'm going to do is probably lob out questions and sit back and listen and try and be a good sage student and soak things in. The website I will mention a time or two, though, is you want to go to KarenAndAndrew.com. That is your gateway to connect with this book and oh so much more. But Kitchen Creativity, it makes me salivate just to think about your book, Karen.
Well, I think that's good news.
Well, the idea of having a resource that inspires people to, you know, not just follow the... I'm used to seeing my grandma's old recipe cards where it has handwritten, one cup this, and you follow it precisely, and you think, oh, you know, my taste have changed, maybe. And where was your inspiration? I mean, it probably was very subliminal. You didn't know when it first really started, but when did the idea for Kitchen Creativity as this wonderful resource book come about?
Oh, it's such a good question, because the creative process is like, where does something start? And I think what you realize with the creative process is that once you start pulling the thread on the sweater, it becomes unraveled, because it keeps going back and back and back to that original stitch. And when we go back to the original stitch of this book, it actually lies in the book we wrote before that, and the one before that, and the one before that. So we're 11 books down the line. And it all started with a book we wrote called Becoming a Chef, which came out in 1995. And my husband, Andrew Dornenberg, who co-authored my first 9 books with me and then is the photographer for Kitchen Creativity, actually, he was working in the restaurant business, in the front of the house, as they say, sort of... in the dining room side of things. And he was loving the smells and all the fun that was coming out of the kitchen where he was working. And so he started talking to the chef about cooking schools. And the chef said, well, forget it. I'll teach you everything you need to know. So that was James Beard Award-winning chef Chris Schlesinger of the East Coast Grill in Boston. And he ended up becoming basically an apprentice to him. And so from that, those early stages of becoming a chef of bit later on, not as a first profession, but as a second or third profession, my husband Andrew just really wanted to start learning everything he could about the restaurant business. And so once you start scratching the surface, well, how do you become a chef? Do you have to go to cooking school? Can you serve an apprenticeship? That started the research for our first book, which was called Becoming a Chef. And that came out in 1995. And that was soon followed by wanting to know everything about how chefs thought about creating a great dish, just the way that poets compose a poem or musicians compose a symphony. He wanted to understand how do culinary artists compose a great dish. And so we actually did that research together. I took my the research orientation that I developed as an undergraduate at Northwestern in Chicago and then at Harvard for graduate school, and really studied chefs almost like an anthropologist would or a sociologist, and really wanted to understand how did they put things together, how did they put ideas together. So it really goes back that far to those books. And then fast forward to 2008, we came out with a book called The Flavor Bible. That was a huge bestseller globally, because it's been translated into several languages and sold hundreds of thousands of copies all around the world. And that is a book that's a lot of professional chefs use as a Bible to really turn to understand from A to Z any ingredient they're working with, from apples to zucchini blossoms. What are the herbs, spices, and other seasonings that will best enhance their flavor? And so sometimes they're looking for even a little bit more inspiration than the Flavor Bible can provide, and that is really what led us to Kitchen Creativity. So fast forward to 2017. It came out on October 31st, 2017, and it really is based on the world's most creative chefs. I'm trying to understand not only how they put food together, but how they think about the creative process and really understanding some of their best practices.
And that's exactly what makes this so beautiful. I mean, I love this one quote. Michael Gelb, author of the New York Times bestseller, How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci, he says about your book, utter genius. If Leonardo da Vinci wrote a book on culinary creativity in 2017, this would be it.
God bless Michael Gelb.
The first time I got the press release, I looked at this and I had one of those smack my forehead moments when I thought, well, like, of course, what you do is you teach them how to do things and here's the different possibilities and then you create. I mean, a master doesn't teach a student to paint exactly like the master. They give them the tools so that they can go on their own variation. And this gives the home chef, because people are getting very sophisticated with their own personal cooking and what they're doing for different parties that maybe they're going to create for, that this is going to be like a godsend to people.
Well, that is absolutely our hope, and I love your very thoughtful and insightful description of what the book does, because it really does have that intention. Picasso had said, you can't break the rules if you don't know what the rules are to start with. And so kitchen creativity breaks the creative process into three different stages, the first one being what we call mastery, which is acquiring the knowledge, skill, and control you need to be able to walk into a kitchen and to open the refrigerator or open the cupboards and see what's there, and to turn it into something delicious and amazing, even without having a step-by-step recipe in front of you. And I think that's the kind of skill that we, you know, when we're watching those TV shows, competitive TV shows, where you've got to make something in 30 minutes based on the ingredients that are set in front of you, we all wish we had that ability. And the point is, now with Kitchen Creativity, you can, because a number of the chefs that were interviewed for Kitchen Creativity are chefs like Stephanie Izard of The Girl and the Goat in Chicago, or Michael Voltaggio of Inc. in Los Angeles, who are winners of Top Chef. And a lot of the winners and runners-up in recent years are all huge fans of the Flavor Bible, of our previous book, Culinary Artistry, because they help them to think more creatively. Well, they were the perfect people to turn to for Kitchen Creativity, because this is a book that helps you take creativity even a step further. I mean, I think of it as almost being like, if you need an interim step before you get to the Flavor Bible, which is a very intuitive book that helps you to throw flavors together in creative ways, this is the book that kind of helps you take a step back and think about, well, who is it that I'm cooking for, and what do they love, and what resources do I have available, and what time of year is it, what time of day is it, what are the constraints available, and based on, you know, you can kind of build this internal computer program inside your head based on some of the checklists in the book, and yet there's all kinds of fun, inspiring things to jolt your memories, to jolt your inspirations. We have an A to Z section in the book that's organized like the Flavor Bible in that same three-column format, but instead of having flavors and ingredients, it's got things like Leonardo da Vinci, speaking of Michael Gelb, and macaroni and cheese, and art, and architecture, and yoga, because they're all jumping-off points for understanding something more about the creative process and about cooking for another human being. And once you use them to really help kind of guide your reference points for whatever it is you're making, whether it's a dish or a new dessert or a new drink, in fact, this can really provide that initial spark of inspiration that's going to set you down on a new exciting path.
Karen Page is my guest. I'm just sitting here with a grin on my face because this woman obviously has a passion and just an inspiration for what she does. I mean, I have to ask, do you and Andrew practice what you preach, or do you have a chance to at home where you just say, all right, honey, let's make this happen?
You know, it's so funny because we love cooking together at home when we don't kill each other. We have a small Manhattan apartment, a small Manhattan kitchen that's always much smaller than we wish it were, never enough counter space. I don't know if anybody else has that problem, but we do in Manhattan. But we're also so passionate about what we do that it is a big part of our research process to go out and eat in some of the world's best restaurants. So we're constantly trying to balance going out. We're just finishing making our plans to go to Le Bernardin for Valentine's Day this year, which is rated the number 2 restaurant in the world by the French list called La Liste.
Wow.
We're very excited to be eating there. We're looking at the menu and the wine pairings that they've got available. But, you know, we're just as excited to have a great meal like the one that I'm sure we're going to have on February 14th, and then to come home and put it to work and say, wow, what are the principles that we learned? What are the flavor combinations? What's that new platform that they used that we can apply in a new way? And by flavor platform, it's the whole idea that, you know, whether you're, if you know a compatible combination of ingredients, whether it's tomato, basil, and mozzarella, or apple, caramel, and peanut, you can take that set of combination, that combination of flavors, and you can apply them to different platforms like a salad, or like a dessert, or like a cocktail, and you'll come up with something wonderful that you know will go well together once you understand what those affinities are.
Well, exactly. I'm going to have Karen talk a little bit about the three-stage process that is the core of this book, Kitchen Creativity. But you mentioned something that just triggered my mind. You know, I maybe don't have the kind of time or anything like that to do the kind of kitchen creativity I would love to do in my own home. But what your book is giving me is the foundation to so much better understand and appreciate what I'm experiencing when I go out to different restaurants.
Exactly. Well, it is an appreciation guide that way for anyone who's interested in dining out, just to understand the creative process of leading chefs' minds. And it, in this day and age where the number one skill for success in business, according to survey of leading CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, is not integrity, it's not global thinking. The number one skill is creativity.
Amen.
So who better to learn creativity from and who more fun to learn creativity from than the world's best chefs?
Exactly. Well, I had an artist friend of mine a few years ago give me a quote that I will never, it'll never leave my head, and that is, creativity is the capital of the 21st century.
I love that. Very well said. So, very wise friend of yours.
Well, you can share that as often as you want to. Let's talk a little bit about those three stages that you mentioned in your book, because I want to make sure we touch base on those. Folks, this is a book you simply got to have. If you have anyone who's a foodie, who loves dining, who loves cooking, loves, we all consume food. No one cannot love this book. That's a bad double negative. I shouldn't have used that. My apologies, Karen. Anyway, go to KarenandAndrew.com. Get information about this. Go to your local independent bookseller. This book, of course, is available on all the online resources, but check your local independent bookseller, because if they don't know about this book yet, they'll know about it after you get done telling them about it. They'll get it for you. They'll have it in stock, that's for sure. But anyway, you have three marvelous stages that just really anchor this so nicely.
Yes. So stage one we touched on briefly, which is mastery, which is really learning how to think like a chef, how to shop like a chef, and how to season like a chef. And basically, we've got a list of 20 different cookbooks that the most creative chefs say you really should have in your culinary library. You don't have to get them all at once. You can acquire one or two a year and use them as your own culinary education if you haven't gone to cooking school, or if you want sort of a graduate level course if you have been to cooking school. And we've also got amazing resources on where chefs shop that will ship all across the country. So there's lots of websites on where chefs get the best vinegar, the best maple syrup, the best salts, the best peppers and condiments. And so they're the kind of secret ingredients that chefs will add just sort of a dash of this or a pinch of this to a dish, and we've got lots of lists of them and how to use them, and we've got exactly where to get them. So that's half the battle, is the chefs have done all the hard work for you. You just need to know where to place your order. And then beyond that, how to season like a chef. It's really how to work with things like salt and salty ingredients like parmesan or miso to be able to bring out the flavor of different ingredients. And, of course, acidity really is what adds that balancing factor, both from a scientific sense by balancing the pH, but also from a flavor sense, balancing that the flavors in your mouth so that it really enhances that basic ingredient. And from there, we move on to stage two, which is called alchemy. And what we mean by alchemy is really converting the common into the precious. And this is where the magic of flavor pairings that we talked a little bit about, that we've profiled in the Flavor Bible and in another book we wrote called What to Drink with What You Eat, that shows you how to put the a compatible drink in the glass next to the plate that you're eating so that everything goes together in your mouth while you're sipping and tasting. I think, probably the most awarded book on food and wine pairing probably in the world. It's been translated into lots of different languages as well, What to Drink with What You Eat. But then we go into the process of creativity itself in stage three, which is making something not only new, but valuable and surprising, and how you can do that. And that's true no matter what creative field you're in. If you're creative and you are coming up with new products, you're coming up with new marketing campaigns, whatever it is, all of us are coming up, we're all creating the future in our daily lives. And there's a lot that's applicable in stage three creativity that draws from the creativity research, cutting-edge creativity research on how to become more creative, what are the secrets of becoming more creative, the stages of the creative process, both from idea inception to developing it and coming to deeper insights about a new idea and then to actually implementing it. So lots of best practices, which, you know, can get pretty involved. We talk a little bit about brainwave states, which you don't need to know about in order to make a more creative meal on a Wednesday night, but it sure makes for really interesting reading to spur your creativity.
Amen. Karen Page, you are a delight. You and Andrew put together one of the most incredible books that will get so dog-eared and worn in my house that we're going to have grand fun going and delving into kitchen creativity, unlocking culinary genius with wisdom, inspiration, and ideas from the world's most creative chefs by Karen Page. Go to KarenandAndrew.com for all the information. You can order the book there, find out lots of other things there. If you want to catch up on previous books that we mentioned early in the conversation, there's a great place to get it. But by all means, this is a must-have book, and I very rarely say that, but there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it, folks. If you don't have this book, your creativity is going to be on such a low, low level that you're going to be sadly lacking in what can be delivered in your own home and in your own life. Karen Page, thank you for Kitchen Creativity. Thank you for your time here on the Culture Buzz.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine, John, anytime.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.